Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
That's right, you're listening to Money FM 89.3. Time now for Market View, where we take a look at how the Singapore stock market is likely to close for the day, the biggest movers, sectors and companies to watch. But as always, a quick recap of how we started. Well, Singapore shares were trading muted this morning following subdued performances in global markets. So in early trade, the Straits Times Index was down 0.01% to 3,217 points after nearly 93 million securities changed hands in the broader market. Now, closing numbers, as usual, they're still firming up, but here's what I have on my screen right now. The Straits Times Index down 0.41% at 3,204 points. In terms of value turnover, that's 1.02 billion Sing dollars. Gainers trailed losers 255 versus 279. Top five movers by value, we've got here DBS, UOB, OCBC, Seatrium and Singtel. Heavily traded securities included Seatrium, Singtel and Genting Singapore. In terms of companies to watch, we do have Sabana Industrial REIT after the REIT's trustee established an internalization committee, including several employees from activist investor Quartz Capital. Now, meanwhile, from Quartz Life tabling seven ordinary resolutions at its next general meeting to Best World, announcing its intention to delist from the SGX. We've got more corporate headlines remaining in focus today. And also on deck, how Swiftonomics boosted card billings at UOB by 35% on the week during Taylor Swift's The Eras Tour here in Singapore. Now, let's break down the developments with David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. He joins me on the line. Mr. Kuo, welcome.
Hey, hello. Good afternoon, Jen. And hello, Elliot. Oh, by the way, Elliot, did you know that Chelsea are top of the Women's Super League?
Yes.
Beat West Ham 2-0.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Well, you know what they're saying.
About the silverware.
No. Listen. You know what the stock market's saying is? Run your winners, cut your losers. Yeah. So I'm running with the Women's Super League at the moment, Chelsea, and I'm ignoring the men's team right now.
Glory Hunter.
Okay, Pinkan, sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm not a football fan, but you know, like every week I get a football update on Market View here. Oh, Mr. Kuo, let's start with the Singapore stock market as usual. Okay. I believe Singapore's inflation numbers heated up more than expected in February, both headline and core inflation rising at a faster pace than the month before. On a yearly basis, if we look at headline inflation for February, that rose to 3.4% year on year. How would you read into the inflation numbers on its own and also together with the latest job vacancies numbers out of Singapore today?
Okay, right. I think there's a couple of things we can take away from this. The first one is that the higher inflation numbers, higher than expected inflation numbers, was attributed to Chinese New Year. And they said that puts up prices slightly. And as a result of that, they said it was higher than expected. But you would have thought that economists would know that Chinese New Year was going to happen in February anyway. So why didn't they factor that into their numbers? And so why are these numbers higher than expected? I would have thought these numbers were pretty much in line with what they should be expecting. That's number one. Number two, it only goes to show, Tintin, that inflation is relatively sticky. We also had inflation numbers today from Malaysia. And they were also slightly higher than expected. And we will be getting PCE data towards the end of this week. And that is part of the reason why everybody is sitting on their hands right now, because they don't know what those numbers are going to be. If the PCE numbers, which is the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation index, is higher than expected, then maybe any interest rate cuts in June is likely to be off the table. So I think, yeah, by all means, have a look at the economic numbers, but I think you also have to engage for yourself what is happening out there right now. And I can see inflation still being relatively sticky, can't you?
Right. Now, looking at the Singapore inflation numbers, how far has that influenced stock price movements on the SGX, particularly in the second half of the day? And any surprises when it comes to the biggest movers, say Sabana Industrial REIT? I know its trustee established an internalization committee.
I think as far as the investors are concerned, the general trend at the moment is that inflation is going to come down. I think we are still experiencing the tail end of the pandemic bottlenecks all over the place. And slowly as that starts to work its way through the system, and I think inflation will gradually start to come down. I saw today a report on one of the news channels that was talking about the Singapore dollar. The Singapore dollar is used primarily to try and moderate the inflationary pressures that we experience here in Singapore. And they're saying that probably more than likely that the Singapore dollar will slightly weaken, which therefore suggests to me that maybe the monetary authority of Singapore is expecting inflation to come down and the Sing dollar will come down. But with regard to your question about how has that affected the market, not a great deal at the moment. And as far as Sabana is concerned, that was relatively flat. And Sabana has a number of problems. What they're trying to do is to internalize their management structure and want to get rid of the external REIT manager and bring in somebody internally. And I think generally what shareholders or unit holders want at Sabana is those distributions. They want those reinstated. And they think that the internal manager might be more in line with what the unit holders want rather than what the external manager wants. But we'll have to see how this plays out over time, Jen.
Right. Talking about crystal ball outlook ahead, we do have another company that is a little bit tricky to look at, which is Cord Life, this cord blood bank company. The group had on Sunday said that it will table 7 ordinary resolutions listed in a requisition notice from substantial shareholder Nanjing Xinjiekou Department Store at its next general meeting. Now, separately, its CEO Yu Peng Fei said on Friday that he plans to focus on the rectification plan to have the group's 6 months suspension lifted. What can we expect on both fronts? Can Cord Life make a comeback given the severity of issue we're looking at?
Do you know, Jen, what they say in the stock market is that it takes years to establish a reputation.
Yeah.
And it only takes 1 minute to actually, 1 second to actually destroy that reputation. Mm. And so I think in the case of Cord Life, a lot of Singaporeans have put their trust in Cord Life. That has, to some extent, been shattered to some extent. So it's going to take a long time for that reputation to be rebuilt. But I kind of regret, Tian, that I studied business rather than law when I went to university. Maybe I should have studied law instead, because so many of your issues today are actually related to legal matters. So maybe Elliot might be actually a better place to actually answer some of these questions. But as far as Cord Life is concerned, it's going to take a long time. They made one mistake. Well, actually, they made a few mistakes along the way. And would you trust that company? Would you want to use the services of that company again? It's going to take the CEO a long time to do something. So I don't know what the answer is. I'm beyond that age where I would need Cord Life's services. But I think that it's going to be difficult for that company.
Right. In the meantime, Mr. Kuo, we've got another company called Bestworld. This company rarely appears on Market View, but this company called Bestworld has announced its intention to delist from the Singapore Exchange. Shareholders also requisitioned an EGM, Extraordinary General Meeting, to vote on dividend policy and directors' pay. Looking at Bestworld as a whole, why is it going private? Should investors see the move as a positive one for the firm?
Well, the thing is, I mean, Bestworld's got a whole bunch of cash sitting on its balance sheet right now, and shareholders want some of that being paid out to them. And I think this is what shareholders generally want, particularly Singaporean shareholders. We want a share of the profits that the company makes. But as far as Bestworld is concerned, they say that money could be better deployed somewhere else. They want to delist the company. Is it the right thing to do? They certainly do have headwinds because one of their big markets is over in China, and they're experiencing a lot of headwinds in China with Chinese consumers reluctant to spend right now. Is this opportunistic as far as Bestworld is concerned? It's got that feeling about it that maybe they want to actually buy back the company when the shares are relatively low rather than to have to buy them back when they're higher. So shareholders will have to decide. I'm not a shareholder in Bestworld, but I would say vote against the resolution right now. I don't think that company should be delisted. I think it's going through some tough times, but once the Chinese consumers come back, then I think things will start to look up for that company. So you don't want to sell at the bottom, do you, Tian?
Right. And if you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. I do want to take this time, Mr. Kuo, to look at Taylor Swift. Why so? Card billings at UOB acquired merchants, that surged 35% week on week over 4th to 10th of March, which was when four of six of Taylor Swift's The Eras Tour concert events took place in Singapore. Can we expect more of such mega concerts to contribute substantially to the banking industry, looking at the pipeline of events that we have for the year?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, this is an interesting one because did Elliot go to that Tian concert? I'm not Tian, that's a Taylor Swift concert.
I wish I have a concert. I wish.
Well, I would certainly attend it if you had a concert, Tian. No, did Elliot go to that Taylor Swift? I think he did, didn't
yes,
he?
Yes, yeah. I did. Yeah.
Did you buy those bracelets and things for yourself?
No, I did not.
No, you did not.
You must ask him if he had a very big meal after that and what kind of transport he took using what card. Yeah.
Yeah, all sorts of things. I mean, there was certainly a lot of merchandise changing hands, and I was listening to some people talking about buying sweatshirts that were probably too big for what they required, but they bought it anyway. So my take on that, Tian, is this. There is only one Taylor Swift. I mean, can you name another artist that could actually sort of do as much for Singapore's economy as Taylor Swift? I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find one. I know some people who went to the Rod Stewart concert, but I don't think even Rod Stewart, as popular as he is, has that kind of pulling power, as Taylor Swift has. So is this a one-off? I think it could very well be a one-off. Will there be other concerts? I think there will be other concerts, but it certainly won't have the same kind of impact. I'm not really that up on music at the moment. Then maybe some of the K-pop bands or some of the other hot artists at the moment. Could Rihanna do something along the lines of Taylor Swift? I don't think even Rihanna could actually do anything as great as Taylor Swift. So I think it's going to be a one-off then, Jen. Others may disagree, but that's my take on it.
I think the last that we talked about, you know, a concert that has influenced, that perhaps could influence share price was Jackie Chung and MM2, if I'm not wrong. But even that was quite a difference in terms of scale as compared to Taylor Swift. But across the region, Mr. Kuo, China has today pledged to what it calls treat foreign companies the same way as domestic peers in a bid to attract more foreign investment, cooperation and expertise. In fact, Vice Commerce Minister Guo Tingting said at the China Development Forum that the country would fully guarantee national treatment for foreign companies so that more foreign companies can invest in China with confidence and peace of mind. How far have markets reacted to this, though, and really how far can investors rely on the officials' words of assurance, so to speak?
Okay. Call me an old cynic if you want. But whenever anybody says that, it means that prior to that, China wasn't treating companies fairly, right? And so you don't have to say anything. I mean, Singapore doesn't have to say anything to say that we treat everybody fairly because we treat everybody fairly, right? But if somebody comes out and says, oh, from now onwards, we're going to treat people fairly, it means that prior to that event, people were not being treated fairly. And so why would you even need to actually say that if things were on an even keel prior to that? But I think, you know, it's going to take people or investors a long time to have trust in China again. I mean, I saw today that the Chinese government said that chips manufactured by AMD and Intel will not be allowed in government offices anymore. How does that actually sort of dovetail with what was actually sort of said with regards to treating everybody fairly? If you're going to be treating everybody fairly, then you don't actually have to sort of say that we're not going to be allowing government officers to use, say, for instance, AMD or Intel chips. But you don't actually sort of have to say, oh, we're going to treat everybody fairly. But at the same time, you say that Apple phones cannot be used by government employees. I mean, that... Yeah. I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding, and they have to do what they say, and the moment they do that, people will start to believe them.
Right, and a quick one before we let you go, Mr. Kuo. Japan's Financial Services Agency's Vice Minister for International Affairs, Shigeru Arizumi, said Japan is attracting more interest from foreign asset managers, sparked by the government's drive to remake Tokyo into a major financial hub. What do you think is then needed for Japan to change its image and boost confidence beyond really working on interest rates, currencies and yield curve?
Well, you know, those three things that you mentioned, currencies, interest rates and yield curve, I mean, those three things are text-free zones. Mm-hmm. In other words, you don't have to actually be able to read or write Japanese or read or write English in order to trade in those three things. Japan is one of the five largest stock markets in the world. Mm-hmm. And so it already is a financial hub. The problem with investing in Japan is that whenever I read the reports from Japanese companies, it's all in Japanese. If they want to make things easier for people to invest in Japan, then have those company reports published in English. Then, of course, you know, it'll be a lot easier for people to start and buy and sell shares in probably the third largest stock market in the world. So I think it is all about communication. It is all about sort of being able to read the reports and to have trust in those reports when you do read them, rather than to actually put them through some kind of Google Translate and then end up with something that doesn't even look like what it was in the very beginning, because what comes out of Google Translate just isn't very good. Yeah.
Right. It's all about communication, isn't it? Thanks a lot, Mr. Guo. That was David Guo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. Thank you very much, as always, for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.